if it isn't Mr. Controversy himself.
Yep.
I think this might be my favorite development of our conversation. That when you say something online now, I'm the one who gets all the emails, and I get like hate mail about it. I said, I was like, wait a second. I said, wait a second, guys. So I went and looked at it, and I said, all right, well, we'll just get into it. You tweeted that RG3, and I don't have it in front of me, but it was something along the lines of, hey, Jake Cutler, RG3 is showing you how to play hurt or play through injury. That is a very sensitive issue, I think, with Bears fans. It is a very sensitive issue for people who support Cutler. I am firmly on the side of player health here. I think I thought it was insane that Griffin was out there limping around. But you disagree. So to the Bears Nation and to people who listen to this, what do you say now?
Well, you know, I said that tweet, and it was kind of a, you know, Jay Cutler, this is how you play through, you know, dear Jay Cutler, this is how you play through an injury in the playoffs, sign, you know, RG3. You know, I was kind of joking. I was making light of Cutler's situation, you know, everything that he's gotten for it, and the fact that I was giving RG3 props because he was clearly injured, and that's what you do in the playoffs. I heard Herm Edwards on ESPN yesterday saying, you know, he played with the bad will and he was a cornerback. You know, I don't know how bad it was, but, you know, that's what you do in the playoffs. You know, you think back to, I think it was 2007, the AFC Championship game, Phillip Rivers plays the whole game with a torn ACL, has surgery after the game, comes back 2008, had his best season as a pro. And, you know, after I tweeted that, RG3's play declined, and I said, hey, if he's not helping his team win, okay, then he doesn't need to be out there. But when I tweeted, it was 14-0. He was playing well. And, you know, I thought that this guy's really doing it on an injured knee, and you know, it's very impressive. Then I listed, you know, the injuries that I played with in my career, and most of the responses I got from that were, well, you were a special teams player, it didn't really matter, you had to do that to stay on the roster. I wasn't really saying that to give myself props. I mean, I think the people, if they listen to the conversations we've had, if they know me at all, I know what my career was. I know the role that I played on in Chicago. I know the role I played in Miami. You know, I was a bottom of the roster guy. I was an undrafted free agent. I think I got the most out of the talent that I had. But, you know, I played through a ton of injuries. Guys play through a ton of injuries. Guys play through a grade 2 MCL tear. It happens. It happens every week, especially in the playoffs. Okay, if you're going to risk a long-term knee injury to a player, even though he's your franchise quarterback like Phillip Rivers was in San Diego, the time you do that is not in the regular season. You wouldn't make those decisions, okay? You would hold them out. But this was the NFC Championship at home against your most hated rival with the chance to go to the Super Bowl on the line. Okay, if Jay Cutler finishes that game, fully tears his MCL, the Bears don't win, he has the whole offseason to recoup. Even if he tore his ACL, he had the whole offseason to recoup. That's not – I mean, we saw what Adrian Peterson did after an ACL tear. He came back as the best running back in football and the best he has ever played. So it's not like these are career-threatening injuries we're talking about. If you say you can't risk Jay Cutler because you made this big trade and gave up, you know, 3 first-round picks or 2 first-round picks, I don't remember exactly what it was, you know, you can't risk that injury. I would say to that, if you made that trade to guarantee yourself a Super Bowl victory, I think you would do that 100%. Jay Cutler gave them the best chance to get to the Super Bowl that day, and I think anything short of when Robert Griffin finally came out of the game in the fourth quarter, he couldn't even walk. Okay, a grade 2 MCL tear, you can walk, you can run, you can plant, you put a brace on, it stabilizes your knee. That was the point of that tweet. And, you know, fans were upset about it. It's definitely a very sensitive issue in Chicago. But I've seen guys, I myself, have played through very serious injuries, MCL sprains like Jay Cutler had. It's been done. and we've seen it done, and we've seen no long-term implications from that. So that was the point of my tweet. I know it's kind of a sensitive topic for fans, but that's where I stand.
Well, and listen, what I have always said is there is clearly a divide on this issue between people who watch the sport and people who play the sport. But you think about it, it was only a few years ago when Byron Leftwich was being exalted and praised and leading SportsCenter for being carried down the field when he was at Marshall. And a lot of people said that's why he was – I think he was the seventh pick in the draft, if I recall, something like that. And, I mean, there has been – I've always said this. This is my problem with the Griffin situation, and I don't ever call into question a player's toughness. So I don't ever call into question an NFL player's toughness. They are all tough. They are playing NFL football. My problem with the Griffin situation was you can't, as a league, continue to change the rules of this game to promote player safety to a point that you've made the rules almost ridiculous and then sit by and allow a guy to limp his way up and down the field. It can't just be about brain injuries, right? It can't. You have to make a decision here whether you're going to protect the guys or you're not. And listen, letting him go out there and play, we now saw it led to a more serious injury than he had. Now, he probably would have needed the same surgery either way, but, you know, that's where my problem is. Fans are defensive of Cutler for a lot of reasons. I thought he took unfair criticism then. But you're not the only one who said that. This was a thing around the league. A lot of guys called him into question for that. I think there's just a divide there between those who have played the game and those who haven't played the game. And a lot of people who haven't played the game say, hey, your knee's banged up, you're banged up.
Yeah.
But there's a warrior mentality among NFL players. I mean, it's there.
Yeah, and there's not only a divide between maybe former players and fans. I think there's just a divide with Jay Cutler. He's a polarizing figure in Chicago. You either love him because he's obviously the most talented quarterback Chicago's had, I don't know since what quarterback you could even compare his talent to. You know, definitely more talented than Jim Harbaugh and Jim McMahon, who played back in the day. I don't think they've had a talented guy like Jay Cutler since then or before then. So fans want him to be that franchise quarterback to fully capitalize on all his physical gifts. And, you know, they haven't seen a guy like him for a long, long time, a quarterback that you can truly say is a franchise player. But at the same time, the way he acts on the sideline, the way fans see him carry himself, okay, a lot of fans, that rubs them the wrong way, and they don't have a lot of respect for him in that regard. So just Jay Cutler as a figure himself, you know, is very polarizing. It's kind of polar opposites. Either you love him or hate him. Okay, you excuse the fact that he turns the ball over, doesn't show up in games because his offensive line struggles, he doesn't have a lot of weapons, which I think are both valid points, you know. Or you say Jay Cutler can't really be a winning quarterback, can't take this team to the Super Bowl. You know, he hasn't proven that over his career. So just anytime you talk about Jay Cutler, I think you're going to get, you know, tons of hate mail, and I think you're going to get some fans who totally agree with you, regardless of what you're talking about, injuries, you know, accuracy, whatever it is, that's how Jay Cutler is going to be. And to your point about the injuries, there are every player that plays in the NFL has played a game or plays multiple games with injuries that are, to a regular person, you know, debilitating almost. And we saw Robert Griffin limping around the field. Well, I guarantee you there's offensive linemen playing in that game with torn labrums, going to have reconstructive surgery after the season, you know, ankle ligaments that are going to have to be repaired after the season. I guarantee you that tons of players in the playoffs or after the season had meniscus injuries, you know, sprained ligaments in their knees, all the injuries that we're talking about, players play with those every single week. If they didn't, there would be no way we would see guys play 16 games and then play into the playoffs and be there for the Super Bowl. It just wouldn't happen. It's just what guys do. You know, I've been in a training room multiple times, you know, where I've seen the type of injuries that guys have played with. Guys getting their knee drained, you know, and taking tons of fluid on Saturday afternoon just to play on Sunday. Those are the type of things that NFL players do on an every week basis, and that's why that will never change, because there's no way you would have a roster of 53, you know, world-class athletes who play, you know, the toughest game on the planet. They would not last 16 games without fighting through some of those injuries.
Yeah, and I would say two other things on what we just talked about. One, I actually think Cutler has changed since that game. And I think you've seen him more often than not stay in games that maybe he would have been more prone to come out of after taking shots now. I think he's actually – I think people don't want to go back to that time, but I think he's earned a lot more respect in the city, certainly, since that game, especially with the number of hits he takes.
Yeah.
The other thing is about you, and I say this to people all the time, you know, your career in the NFL and your experience in the NFL, specifically within the organization, makes you an unbelievable asset to me and to this site. And when people come out with that, well, you were a bottom of the roster guy, well, you know what? I don't think it matters what part of the roster. You either know the game and know what we're talking about or you don't. And you certainly have more insight than some Joe Blow on Twitter who's busting my balls because I'm reporting a story. So I'm never gonna apologize for you, because I think you're a true asset. Let me say this: Dave Toew got an interview today, for the head coaching job of the Chicago Bears. We've talked about Dave a lot, but just give me in a minute or two, tell me why Dave Toew would be a good head coach for the Chicago Bears.
Well, we've talked about before. You know, he works with a full roster all the time. 53 guys. He has to find what guys can fit. You know, punt return, punt, kickoff return, kickoff. He has to manage all those facets of the game. He stood up in front of, you know, the entire roster four times a week, talking to him about the game plan, who's going to be involved. He works with every position coach to understand, you know, who's going to be playing where, how often they're going to be playing, what guys can he use on his teams. And he does a great job of that. He does a great job of, I think, the best that I played with. And I played with Keith Armstrong, who also interviewed for the Bears head coaching job, and I think they're both excellent candidates. Dave Toew does the best job I've ever been around of putting players in specific positions to make plays and to maximize their talent, their skill set. You know, I led the league in special teams tackles in 2006, tied with Brendan Iambadeja. We both had 26 because he put us in positions to use our talents to make plays. And I think he does an excellent job of that. That's why we see, you know, kind of regardless of what Devin Hester does on a year-to-year basis, the Bears special teams being a top five, top 10 unit, and because of what Dave Toew does. And I think he has the demeanor of a head coach. He knows his team's strengths. He knows his weaknesses. He knows how to manage those. He would be an excellent sideline guy. I mean, he's very detailed about his preparation and understanding situations and what the right thing to do in those situations are. So, you know, hopefully that was an interview and he was ready for it, because I know, you know, after John Harbaugh got hired in Baltimore, you know, I talked to him quite a bit, and he was really happy about that because he really looked up to John Harbaugh and felt that was possibly a route for him.
Here's my question. I guess the question you have about Dave is, assuming he would keep Rod on his staff, and I think he probably would, and leave Rod to run the defense, have you seen from him, or did you see from him, is he capable of bringing in the right guy to run an offense, and is he capable of being a head coach, I don't know, not to have his footprint on the offense, but to at least be able to run the offense in a serviceable way? Is he that kind of a coach?
You know, I don't know. I don't think that's a question that we would ever know unless he gets that opportunity. You know, I've never seen him in that situation or position. I know that coming from a special teams background, you know, he was a defensive line coach before and a strength coach before that, so he's dealt with a whole roster of people. I think it really comes down to his decision-making on hiring the right coordinator to run his offense, what vision he has of the offense he wants to see put on the field for the team that he coaches. And I think John Harbaugh did, you know, a good job of that when he got to Baltimore and he hired Cam Cameron. I think, you know, their visions kind of separated at some point. That's why he's no longer the offensive coordinator there. But we've seen coaches like that, you know, make great decisions to on the other side of the ball, which I think is what we're talking about. You know, I think he keeps Rob Marinelli and his staff intact as much as he possibly can, or brings in guys that he knows can maximize the talent on this roster. And really it's going to come down to, after that, his decision on who he's going to hire to run the offense he wants to see put on the field, because I'm sure he has a very clear vision of how he wants his offense to look and what he thinks would be the best fit for a team that he coaches.
Twitter villain Cameron Willell, I'm still laughing about the text messages I got. Did you hear what Cam said? I said, oh, Jesus, what did he say? I thought you had made some kind of racist outburst.
Yeah.
I was going to have to denounce you publicly.
Yeah, really. I mean, you know, it was a kind of a shock to me because, like I said, I thought it was kind of an innocent statement. I felt the way I feel about Jay Cutler in that NFC Championship game, and I'll never change my stance on that. I feel very strongly, if you can walk, if you can run a little bit, if you can put a brace on and stabilize something, the NFC Championship, that's when you gut it out. That's when you get on the field and do it. And I agree with you 100%. Since that game, Jay Cutler has proven a lot to me. He's proven to a lot of fans that he's much tougher than he appeared in that game. But that's why I tweeted that and giving props to RG3, because it was the playoffs and he was gutting it out. But, you know, the reaction that I got was totally shocking. I thought it was just kind of an innocent comment on Twitter, which I do all the time. And, you know, here comes 50 hate tweets at me. But
hey,
it was fun. I was in Vegas. You know, I was having a good time, and this just kind of added to it. So, you know, thanks for letting me come on and kind of address these wonderful
No,
tweets.
It's not a problem at all. We'll talk Super Bowl week. Super Bowl preview.
Right.
You and I will do a half hour. All right, talk
Sounds
to you later.
Good. All right.
Bye.